from olderandwiser.com. It's the Baby Boomer News of the Week. I'm Bob Bates.
And I'm Susan Sikora. This week, Google's new self-driving cars. Are they the answer for old folks who can't drive?
The Dalai Lama reveals who he wants to be reincarnated as, and you won't believe it.
Plus, this week, we all said goodbye to David Letterman on late night TV.
Stick around. It's the Baby Boomer News of the Week. Well, as you said, we said goodbye to David Letterman this week. Well, it was kind of a sad night, huh, Susan?
Oh, man. You know what? Last night, I was having Letterman withdrawal.
It was because there was no Letterman on for you.
Oh, my gosh. I thought, what am I going to do? They had some, you know, rerun of another show, and I thought, ugh.
I thought it was great that Jimmy Kimmel decided to put a rerun on to encourage people to go over and watch the last episode of Letterman on the Rival Network. Wasn't that nice?
Yeah, it was gracious. And it's good that whoever the powers that be are that he has to run things by, if there are those folks, let him do it.
Amazing 33 years on the air, David Letterman.
The show was, I thought, brilliant.
Yeah. What was the moment that you felt?
Oh my God, there were so many. I mean, I loved the top 10, of course, everybody loved, because it was one celebrity after another with Jerry Seinfeld, Julie Louis-Dreyfus, and
Barbara Walters, Steve Martin.
But God love her, she was there. And, it was one after the other, after Bill Murray and Alec Baldwin. I mean, they were all, they were there.
One of the other things we kind of forget about is that prior to David Letterman, there really was only one late night show, and that was The Tonight Show. And they were the only game in town. Johnny Carson really had it covered.
If you were up late, you were at NBC.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And when they gave The Tonight Show to Jay Leno, that really was David Letterman's final straw.
Probably a tough moment for him because, he probably thought he was going to get the show.
Everybody kind of did. I mean, I thought he would get the show. I thought, because he was friends with Letterman.
But the last show, I'm telling you, was
you loved
brilliant.
It. You loved it.
Oh my God. And you know what was really good? There was a segment in there with kids, which he was always good with kids, even before I think he had Harry.
About David Letterman with kids is he talks to them as though they're adults.
Yes. It's
always the kid that's got the funny line.
Mm-hmm. So the moment also that I loved was when he said to his wife and son who were out there in the audience, thank you for being my family. I love you both. And that's really all that matters.
A perfect ending for a 33-year run and not too schmaltzy.
No.
A lot of laughs, but
it moved along. It wasn't too schmaltzy. It was Dave. He was relaxed. He was having fun. There were moments that you would almost bring you to tears, but toward the end, only because you knew this was it for you, as a viewer. So.
We watched him grow old on TV. We really did.
Absolutely.
We really did.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see if he does anything else, because I thought to myself yesterday, so David Letterman's waking up today with no place to go?
I get the sense that he's the kind of guy who would be just fine with that.
Well, time is precious, and you know that as you get older, and maybe he'll take advantage of that and relax, and who knows what'll happen. I think he might do something else, but maybe something less demanding on his time, so he has time with his family.
Well, it was a great farewell, and David Letterman will be missed. Okay, well, let's talk about this item from seniorjournal.com, the headline, "Will the self-driving car preserve mobility for senior citizens?" The self-driving car, this is a Google thing. I don't know if you've been reading on this, but Google has developed a car that will drive itself.
Yes, yeah.
And they're buzzing around Northern California with no driver behind the wheel. It's a pretty great idea. I guess it's
a great idea. It's a little scary, but maybe that's because people who are control freaks, not saying, might feel out of control. The car is driving. The computer's making, the chip in the car is making the decisions, not me. So, and hopefully nothing will go wrong, but maybe a control freak would be someone who would think of that more often than somebody else.
Well, these little electric cars, they use GPS technology and laser grid plotting, all kinds of bizarre technology to determine where other vehicles are. They know what streets you're on. They can determine where pedestrians and obstacles are. It's an amazing technology, and it's coming along fast, folks. And I believe that by the time, Susan, you and I can't drive any longer, these little cars might be available for us where we could just get in one, say, push the button that says grocery store, and it just, you know, takes us right there.
It takes there. You there. Yeah, exactly. You know, when you get older, or you see this, if you've looked at people in their 80s and 90s, or people who are not driving anymore for one reason or another, maybe their vision goes, maybe their hearing goes, maybe for some reason somebody thinks it's not safe for them to be on the road. And so they stop driving and they become isolated, because even though they may have a huge, you know, selection of friends around them, even nearby, my mother was the driver in her group. When she stopped driving, she was in her house and her friend was in her house, and these people were all not that far away. But unless you can get someone to drive you over to your friend's house and pick you up and take you home.
It's the worst thing about growing old is that you can't go anywhere any longer until somebody takes your hand and walks you out to their car and drives you to the store and stands around while you pick out your grapefruit. I mean, you lose your sense of self. And to be able to have a vehicle that will take you somewhere without risking your life or anyone else's, boy, that's the future if that really does work.
I think, yeah, and it's got to be perfect, because like you said at the end of your sentence, as long as it doesn't, you know, risk your life or anyone else's.
Well, they've been doing testing on this for 6 years now, and so far there have been 11 minor accidents with these little cars, only light damage, no injuries, and that's over the course of 1.7 million miles of driving.
Good stats.
That's very good.
Impressive.
I saw a little piece on a website from a tech guy who actually spent some time riding in one of these things. And he said the experience is interesting because apparently it's very slow. It's not aggressive in any way at all. It's kind of like riding with your mother driving, you know. But you feel safe and you're not going to hit anything. Most of these cars are electric, and they have a max speed of maybe 40, 45 miles per hour. So it's very good for getting to the grocery store, probably not so useful for a long trip at this point.
Yeah. Well, the car looks small, so I would worry about how strong it is if there is an impact. Although, like you said, you know, the accident rate so far in the testing has been very, very low.
Yes.
So that's good.
It is true.
And they have to make them, and this is key, folks, affordable. If this is a $100,000 car, forget it. You're wasting your time, because seniors aren't going to be able to afford that or spend that much on a car.
That's true. If they could crank them out en masse and get a good price point down there, they would sell like
hotcakes.
Maybe
this is the new Volkswagen Bug of its time.
And you could text while you're driving. That'd be nice.
I don't know.
You could do other stuff.
I'd have to be watching the car. I'd be looking over the car's shoulder. I'd be the helicopter driver.
Okay, this item from AARP.com. The headline, Embrace Your Age, Feel Good About Where You Are Now. This particular item is really a transcript from some remarks made by AARP CEO Joanne Jenkins. And I'll tell you what, she really hits the nail on the head with some of this stuff. Mm-hmm. Because what she talks about is the fact that often what we do is we are obsessed with our own age. We talk about it. We talk about how old we are. We talk about the things we can't do anymore.
We buy stuff to keep it at bay.
Exactly. Or we become obsessed on that side of it, where we are constantly trying to stay young and look young and be young on the outside, instead of just being happy with the age that we are.
I know people my age, women, who are friends of mine, who will not discuss how old they are, who will not say it out loud.
Because it's shameful to them.
Well, because, oh my gosh, if they find out how old I really am, you know, like it's some bad thing you did.
They're ashamed of their age. Yeah.
If you don't age, guess what the alternative is? Goodbye.
Yeah. Yeah. Joanne Jenkins says, she says, we either just accept the old stereotypes and live out the negative image of aging, or we just deny that we are aging and fight it with every fiber of our being and every dollar in our bank account. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, and I also think it has to be recreated. And I think if the boomers don't recreate it, because we are such a large group, and even if we don't have as much money as we did have, and some of us have more, some people have done very well, but there's still a lot of marketing dollars to be had here. People are still spending money, even though they've hit maybe in their 50s, 60s, 70s.
Yeah.
If those people walk out the door, if I were in business selling a product, I'd want those people there.
But in the meantime, we are just preoccupied with our age. Joanne says, how old would you be if you didn't know how old you are? How old would you be, Susan, if you didn't know how old you are?
I'm probably somewhere in my early to mid 40s, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe even in my 50s. I mean, again, it's not about a number. It's about how I'm perceived, I think. Although if I go look in the mirror and I see a few extra wrinkles, I'm not thrilled with that. But then, anybody else my age is probably getting the same kinds of things. So, yeah. Who cares, really?
Yeah, who cares? Well, Drew Barrymore does, because earlier this week she said, here's the headline, Drew Barrymore on aging. I love being 40. Well, first of all, who doesn't love being 40?
Yeah, 40,
I'd love to be 42.
Okay.
But her point really was that she's embracing her age, just as we just been talking about.
To myself, when I was younger growing up, my girlfriend Maureen's mother said, when a woman really looks good, her best, her peak of her beauty is when she's 40. And we looked at her mother and said, 40? Like 40 was 120, like
yeah.
That was Methuselah.
Right.
The people Drew Barrymore's age in her generation and younger, if they change their perceptions of aging as they get there, then it will eventually change.
That's a good point. Start this process of embracing your age early.
Mm-hmm.
When you're 40, enjoy it now. She said, when I was a kid, I always thought I should be older. When I was in my 20s, I was like, no, I want to be a kid again. Mm-hmm. And she says, this is the first time in my life my age has met up with where my life is. And I if we could all kind of find a way to have our age meet up to where our life is, mm-hmm. and just be okay with it.
We talked about David Letterman. What's he going to do now? He may do something totally different. Who knows?
He doesn't have to retire. We assume he's going to just sit on the front porch, and rock. But the truth is, he needs to embrace his age and do whatever he wants to do.
Well, just because you get older doesn't mean you lose your ability to do things or your ability to think or be creative.
Yeah.
And that, again, goes back to that mindset we have to change. And people like Drew Barrymore can be influential in changing the perceptions of her generation and others, certainly.
Yeah.
About it. So who knows?
Okay. Well, next up, the weirdest little story popped up on the internet. I'm not even sure. At first, I thought it was a joke, and now I think it really was a true quote. The Dalai Lama wants to be reincarnated as a mischievous blonde woman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, here's what he said, basically. In an interview from his home, he said that he thought if he was going to come back as something, he'd like to come back as a blonde woman. She should be mischievous, and her face must be very attractive, or nobody will pay much attention.
As the semi-attractive, speaking for the semi-attractive bulk of us brunettes or former brunettes, it's a little disappointing. We all love the Dalai Lama. He's very cute, but I'm thinking he's a celibate. He might be talking from that perspective. I don't know.
Or maybe he has little fantasies going on that we don't know about.
There you go.
But the fact that he said she must be blonde or nobody will pay attention, I thought was interesting.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Really? Disappointed there.
Yeah. And what he
means? That just proves he has his imperfections too.
Of course. What do you suppose he means by mischievous? What is this mischievous blonde?
I think he means sexy.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I thought that might be a term for someone sexy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also, although his perception of her face has to be attractive, or nobody will pay attention. Again, if you are good looking, you get a better hearing.
You, yeah, Oh, it's true.
Paid attention to
you. Absolutely do.
That may be it. And maybe he sees that. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt here. Maybe he just likes cute blondes and he's thinking, Jesus, you know, I'm 80 years old.
He is 80. He's going to be 80 very soon, I think in July.
Yeah. Yeah. And celibate, we assume.
Now, here's what I don't know a lot about Buddhism, but it says here, Buddhists believe the role of the Dalai Lama has been filled for 600 years through reincarnation.
Yeah.
So I guess what that means then is the Dalai Lama lived a life before, before that.
Oh, no.
Anyway, he says.
So. I mean, I think they just think the spirit is reincarnated somehow. It's probably part of that reincarnation thing that you come back, not as an ant or something, but, you know, that your soul lives on. And some of that is certainly overlap in other religions that the soul lives on, whether or not you come back and do it again because you didn't learn what you're supposed to, or you come back because you're the next Dalai Lama. Who knows?
Well, I love the fact that he gets out there and mingles with the real people of the world. He isn't just up in his monastery all the time.
At least the blonde real people.
Yeah, the blonde. Maybe he's got some friends up there at the monastery.
Nothing against blondes.
Apparently, he's going to rock out at the Glastonbury Festival of Music this weekend in Somerset, England, with Kanye West. I mean, there you go.
Well, I hope
rubbing elbows with Kanye West.
If I'm assuming the tickets aren't free, so I hope the brunettes don't go and cash their tickets in before the week.
All righty. About time to wrap things up. But before we do, there's one last item here that popped up on the HuffingtonPost.com. It's actually just a little blog, but I thought it hit home in a way. The headline is 10 Polite Things People Just Don't Seem to Do Anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just click down through them, and I'd love to hear your reaction on this. Number one is writing thank you notes.
I still do it. And you know what? I tell young people to do it, too. I was teaching a college course for a while, and I told them, I said, when you go to an interview, handwrite a thank you note.
Yeah.
I said, for one thing, and they all looked at me a little strangely. I said, yeah, you can email it. Email better than nothing, but writing better than email, only because if nobody else is doing it, you'll stand out.
Yeah.
Besides the fact that it's the polite thing to do.
Well, my wife writes little notes all the time. She's got all these little boxes of thank you notes.
Me too.
I haven't written a handwritten thank you note. I can't remember the last time.
Well, it's
emails. You know, I think I'll do my thank yous in an email. Is that impolite?
You know, it's better to do an email if you write it nicely. If it seems like a form email, you know, like a form letter.
Oh, it's not that. No, I'm polite. Yeah.
But the email gives you the immediacy, you know, whether you're doing it via phone, computer, or what have you. It gives you the immediacy. You can write the note right after.
Yeah.
But if it's something where you write it so fast, thanks for seeing me today, boom, that's fine.
I just don't have any stamps.
Up.
That's my problem. Number two here on the list is welcoming a new neighbor with a batch of cookies or a friendly hello.
Okay. Well, I just got a new neighbor.
Did you welcome her with a new batch of cookies?
Well, I said I was friendly and I said hello and I chatted, but no cookies.
No, nobody does that. We live on a lovely little street, and I know maybe one or two of our neighbors. The whole street, I'd have to introduce myself if I went to the door and
talked
to them.
Yeah, and you know, my luck, I'd give a batch of sugar cookies to somebody and they're diabetic or something.
Oh, there you go. Okay. There you go.
So
you got to be careful.
Now I've created a problem.
Number three, and this is something you guys probably face a lot up in Northern California with all the good public transportation system that you have up there, and that is giving up your seat on public transportation for the elderly, pregnant women, and those with disabilities. Do you do that?
Do I do it?
Or do people give up their seat for you these days?
Neither.
neither.
I'm not on public transportation, but although I do believe in it. When I did it a lot in Boston. I took my public transportation in Boston. And if I saw somebody older, I probably would certainly give up my seat for them, or pregnant, someone with a disability. Absolutely. Yeah, why not?
I see people give up their seats all the time. I think this one is, I see it all the time. Somebody sits in one of those handicapped seats, or even just any seat, and you see an older lady coming on, people will jump up and give their seat to the older person.
Yeah, just don't do it to baby boomers. We're not yet ready to be recognized as the older person.
Oh, that would be the ultimate insult, wouldn't it, if someone had to give up this? Sir, would you like my seat?
Get out of here.
Number four, RSVPing to events Well, of course we do that.
Yeah, of course.
Number five.
Whether you're coming or you're not.
Yeah. Number five, take off your hat indoors. Well, I don't wear a hat, so.
Well, yeah, that makes sense. But of course, if it's part of your outfit, that one I really don't care about a whole lot.
Here's an interesting one. Number six, making polite small talk at the checkout.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't really love
sometimes,
doing that.
I mean, you can be in such a rush that you look over people or you don't pay attention, things or waiters. You know what I do when I'm in a restaurant? Mm-hmm. If a waiter brings me a glass of water, which in California
always say thank you, right?
I always say thank you when they bring the stuff.
Don't ignore the person as they come over. That's really degrading, I think.
Yeah, and not just the waiter, but the person who busses the table in between before they come for dessert, you know,
absolutely
after dinner. I always say thank you.
Every person needs an acknowledgement. They do. That they're just, you can't think that they're just there and invisible. That's wrong.
On the other hand, you can't let the polite small talk go on too long at checkout. They have to think about what they're doing.
Well,
they might just overcharge, undercharge.
I think what this writer was saying was that in the good old days of shopping at the grocery store, you knew your checkout lady and you always were chatting about the family and all that kind of stuff. These days, we go to big Ralph's or big Safeway stores and, we don't know who's on the other side of the counter. And to be honest, we don't care.
We don't care.
Yeah, which is sort of it.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of that.
Number seven, say you're welcome instead of no problem.
I mean, no problem is not the rudest thing.
It sort of suggests that it would have been a problem, but it's really not a problem.
I think people mean it as genuinely if they say no problem, as if they say you're welcome.
Yeah, that might be.
I think they're interchangeable. This
writer might be a little picky on that one.
A little picky there, yeah.
Number eight, giving your undivided attention to your company rather than your phone.
Yeah, rude, and amen to that one, brother.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, I'm sorry. If I'm sitting there in front of you and you've got a phone, unless you're waiting for somebody to have a baby or call you about the lottery ticket that you're not sure if you won or not, and they're going to find out in the next 5 minutes.
Yeah, pay attention to me.
If you're a doctor, fine.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
But you know what? There's people in front of you. They took the time to meet with you or to talk to you, or they want your presence, or they're giving you their presence, and you're there with this little, put the phone down.
Yeah. There better be some reason.
I'm concerned about, because people don't even seem to get that that's wrong, because so many are doing it. So because everybody's doing it, it's okay. It's not okay.
Number nine, holding the door open for the person behind you.
Yeah, I try to do that when I can.
Number 10.
Unless they're way far behind you and you're in a rush. You know?
Right. I'm not going to hold the door for a whole line of people. Have you ever gotten in one of those situations where you hold the door open and then one person comes through and then another and then pretty soon you're just standing there holding the door?
No, Bob, where are you going? Are you just hanging out at hotels?
That happens to guys probably more than to women. Yeah. And finally, number 10, never interrupt people to take a phone call.
Well, that goes back to the other one, too.
Yeah.
Again, unless there's an emergency, in which case, you know what I would do if I'm waiting for a call, or if it's something that's a kind of a crisis that's going on, but, it's kind of percolating on the back burner.
Yeah.
I will say to somebody, I may have to take a call. You know what? When I talked to, who was it? Was it Alan Alda? Or I think it was Phil Donahue. I can't remember.
I always drop that into conversation. Oh, you know, when was that? When I was talking to Alan Alda?
Phil Donahue?
I can't remember.
It was Alan Alda. Let me tell you what happened very quickly.
What a name dropper you are.
I'm old enough. I've met everybody because I did a talk show for a long time.
Right.
When Alan Alda came to our set on the last show I did in San Francisco, he was on a book tour.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to take a call, and we were sitting down. We weren't even really mic'd yet. They were getting us in place. And, you want to chit-chat a little bit with people, but there's not a lot of time. But there was a little more time. But he said to me, excuse me, I'm really sorry, but I have to take this call. And I thought, wow, that was the first time anybody apologized or, kind of preempted the here comes the call. Not just did it and said, I'm sorry to do this. They knew, in other words, he knew it was, I should be paying attention to you, and I'm doing this call.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was unusually gracious. And unfortunately, I can't say anybody has done it since.
Oh, really? Yeah. Just acknowledging it. Yeah, that's all you really need.
And I think if you say that, somebody can understand if you're accepting a call, you're, something's going on and you need to take it right away. But most of the stuff can wait.
Of course it can. Well, you know what? There's one thing that can't wait, and that's time for us to go.
It's time to say goodbye.
It's time to say goodbye. It's been another good week with the Baby Boomer News of the Week with Susan Sikora. So good to have you here, and you always bring something interesting to the table.
I try, and I promise try not to name drop too much.
Okay, we'll see you next week. And in the meantime, folks, for all the news and entertainment for baby boomers and beyond, check us out at olderandwiser.com.